Started a series last week on destiny, and want to continue it today, talking about prioritizing things in our lives. And how do we do that? And what do you really mean? And what happens when the plan comes along and then something changes it? And I was reading, and I saw this story this week, and I thought, here's a lack of priority. The two shopkeepers were bitter rivals. Their stores were directly across the street from one another, and they were envious of each other, and they would keep track of each other's business and watch over each other's business. And when one got a customer come in, they would just gloat and be so thankful for it. So one night, an angel appeared to one of them and said, "I'll give you anything that you want." But he said, "I will give your competitor across the street twice what I give you." He said, "Do you want to be wealthy?" The guy thought for a second, and he said, "No." He said, "I'm afraid that competitor would be twice as wealthy. I don't want that." He said, "Well, what would you like?" He said, "I'll give you the desires of your heart." He said, "What about health?" He says, "I really don't want, I don't want any better health. I've got good health." He said, "Well, what would you want?" He said, "Here's my one request." He said, "Strike me blind in one eye." And I thought about that, and I thought, where are our priorities today? What's important for people? And we talked a little bit about something in class about opinions. And why can't I have my opinion of something and Linda have her opinion of something and we both be okay with it? But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be that way, because our priority anymore is I want everything for myself. I want to be number one. And so steps come in many forms. And as I was reading and studying this week, I thought about something. Cindy bought me this Fitbit watch that I can measure my steps. And so every so often through the course of the day, I'm looking down, and how many steps have I walked? Closest I've got to 10,000 is about 9,800. And I was not going to get up at 10 o'clock and go out and walk 200 more steps just to get my 10,000 in. Sometimes I even fall over my own feet. But the Bible says that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So what's he saying? He's saying, when we need to take steps, we need to plan things. We can't just go after life helter-skelter. And so I looked at this and I thought, well, then the first floor, we're all comfortable on the first floor of life. Everything is going well. No one stood up in front of you and talked about destiny. We're just moving through life as it comes. We're not doing anything to change it. And so somebody stands up there and says, well, there's a second floor. And so the second floor requires steps. It requires some effort, some plan. And when we start taking those steps, we begin our destiny and we begin to get up there. And so we climb the stairs one step at a time. When I was in college, I worked for Sears and I sold men's clothing. And the store had an escalator in it, and we got a new manager, a guy by the name of Paul McGinnis, come from, I think it was New Orleans or Baton Rouge, and came, and I lived in, and it was in Overland Park, Kansas. And he come by one day and we were talking. He says, "Larry," he said, "that escalator," he said, "those are amazing." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "They really are." And we were talking, talking about he came from New Orleans, and he said there would be people come in and ride the escalator all day because they had never seen one. And in life, there is no escalator. We have to take the steps, and we have to plan that, and we have to do what it takes. Steps do not make our lives harder, believe it or not, and some people would tell you that they do. But they make it easier because we know where we're going in our preparation for destiny and our walk for destiny and the walk that God has given to us. Any person that understands their destiny and knows what their destiny is or has a glimpse of it can get up out of the bed this morning. And I thought about that when Debbie was talking to him. Says, what's the first thing you do? And I'm thinking, well, for the person with destiny and they have a plan and they know where they're going, you get up out of bed and you put your feet on the floor and you're a lot peppier. You're a lot happier with your life and you're a lot happier with what's going on in your lives. When our life's ordered, setbacks will come along. I'm not going to tell you they won't. Disappointments will come along and things will happen in our lives that set us back. But what we will find out with our destiny and with a plan and know where we're going, that those setbacks are only commas. They're not periods. It doesn't end with a setback. It gives us an opportunity to move forward. And with that order, we keep on track. But most of us have a problem waiting for that process. Nothing infuriates me more than you're going down a four-lane highway with the speed limit 55 and somebody going 55 in the left lane. Phil. And so when I'm in the left lane going 55 because that's the speed limit, that's okay. But when I get behind somebody and I say, I can't believe they're going 55 in the fast lane. And Cindy said, well, what's the speed limit? Well, it's 55. She said, you're the same way. You get over there and you think it's okay. But part of that plan is for people to get out of the way. But they don't do it. And so that interferes. That's one of those commas in my life that I don't like. So we have to accept the process. We have to stay focused, stay encouraged, stay in faith, stay goal-oriented, and remember the phrase from last week, I will walk in faith. Because oftentimes we don't know where we're going. So how do we bring that vision of our body, soul, and spirit all together? And how do we find order? And so the way we do it is we set priorities on a daily basis. Do we know where we're going? I know on Tuesday I have to have a sermon that I work on for Sunday. So Tuesday all day and Wednesday morning are those times for that. Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, I prepare for Thursday evening, get ready for our lay pastor class. But there's been an interruption in this coming week because I have to do a funeral on Tuesday. So I have to change it. What that becomes is a comma. It becomes a setback, maybe. But one of the things about setbacks are setups for God to move in our lives. And I get quite a few calls to do funerals. I don't like doing funerals. I like doing weddings. I don't like doing funerals. But it's an opportunity to minister to people. And every funeral that I do, we send out a letter. Sorry about your loss. We're here to help you. We're here to do what we can. And now we've included in the letter, one of the plans for us this fall is to do a grief share session. 13-week session on how do I deal with grief. And every one of those people have gotten a letter that says we're going to do that. And then they're going to get another one. An invitation to come and to be part of that. But that's part of our plan. Part of the way that we prioritize things. Part of the way that we focus on things. A lot of times we see people that will stand up and take a chance or look at something and think, well, is that me? Is that my way? And then sometimes chaos comes in, and one of the things that we see that even in the midst of life, if chaos comes up and we feel so pressured and so torn on what do? That we need to realize that we just change one thing at a time. We're not going to change everything. I talked to a person this week about a situation in their family. Actually, I talked to two people about a situation in their family. And my response is, we can fix anything. You just have to know how we're going to do it. And we have to take steps in order to get there, because it's not going to come easy. There's never a convenient time to make changes in our lives. Sometimes it seems so inconvenient. As I mentioned, I did this graveside service for this 43-year-old man. And I'm thinking about such a short life. And was that a life fulfilled in those short 43 years? Because there are some people that will live twice that long and never have a fulfilled life, because they've never found their destiny. They've never found what they're looking for in life. And so as we do that, and as we think about that, there's some things that we need to do. One of them is we need to prioritize our relationships. What do you mean by that? Well, we've all spent a great deal of time trying to build relationships with someone to find out that they're just not too interested in building a relationship with us. And there are people, you know, we run across and we see them every time. And I'm not talking about when I say a return on our investment as a financial return. But if I invest time to know somebody, I want them to invest a little time in me. And so as I thought about this, and I read, and there was three different types of people that we invest our lives in. There's no such word as life, is there? The first one is a confidant. That's a person that you can tell anything to. One author said, you're blessed if you find two or three in your life of people that you can really talk to and tell them something, and you know that it won't go any further. I have those people. And we should all have them. And they should be wise enough to say, hey, I don't think this is the right path. And that's okay. Because those are people that we have confidence in that will direct us and give us the right path and take us down the right course. Sometimes, no matter how painful it is. There's a second group of people that we come across, and those are called constituents. Constituents are those that you'll have the most of them in your lives. They're people that you'll run across all the time. They want to be a confidant, but something comes along, or as soon as something comes along, then they move on. They're going looking out for another deal. And the perfect thought that came to my mind as I thought about that and who these people are is a politician. I know, it's funny. But when you stop and think about that, when a politician fails, what's his constituents do? They go look for somebody else they can tag on to. They don't hang around with him. He's out left on a limb to cut it off by himself. And the third group are what we call comrades. Those are people that are with you to help you fight a battle, and then they're gone. And I thought of it's kind of like a ladder. You put a ladder up, you change a light bulb, you take the ladder down, the ladder becomes your comrade to do something. But when the bulb's changed and the ladder goes away, they've went away. They have no value to them. And so, you know, we need to prioritize our finances. Well, you're talking about money. Yes, I am. But that's all part of what prioritizing is. Financial advisor said that if you look at a person's bank statement, then you'll know what the priorities of their life are. Not about pleasing other people. Now I'll tell you, I will confess to you that several people said, that's a nice looking suit. Thanks. Several people said, you look good in it. Even better. But I will tell you that I bought it on sale, where you buy one, you get two free. This is the one I had to pay for because it was $19 more than the other two. But that's okay. I'm not here. If I wanted to impress you, I would wear holy jeans and a Harley shirt. And then Bruce and I could look alike. If you wear a Harley shirt. But God's not interested in what we have. Not near as interested as other people are. But we have to put Him first, and we have to prioritize our finances. We have to prioritize what's important. We can't live someone else's life, and they can't live ours. I saw a picture on Facebook, and it was this guy and his little son walking away, and the caption was, Dad, in some countries, I heard that they pick your wives for you. And he said, it's that way everywhere, son. And I thought, you know, there are countries that do that. And there are places that do that and places that pick someone's profession. How many people have had a profession that they want their children to follow in them with? They have absolutely no interest in it because that's not their destiny. People who live a life of purpose and who have priorities established are far happier than those people that have no idea where they're going. I saw a phrase this week and I thought it was interesting. It said, cultivate a great mind and leave small thinking behind. What determines our thoughts? What determines the issues in our lives? What makes us move? What's worthy of our time? What's worthy of an investment? Eleanor Roosevelt said, and I love this, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. Our destiny is greatness, and nothing can occupy the space that has been set aside for us there. Nothing can interfere with us. And I thought about Jesus. When Lazarus' sister said, come, Lazarus is dying, and what'd he do? He waited another day. And then he gets there and he wasn't upset because Lazarus was asleep. He didn't say Lazarus was dead. He said Lazarus is sleeping. He wasn't concerned. His priority was seeing him live again. And so it becomes dangerous for us to let little things get in our way and let little things affect the major issues in our lives. Because when we deal with little stuff, we deal with minor stuff, it zaps our energy. And stop and think about some of the little things that you've wasted worry on. I love what Emily put in the bulletin. I'm not sure if you happen to see it yet. But it says, worry is believing God won't get it right. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Worry is not part of our destiny. Don't get caught up in what people say about you. We do things different than the average guy. A Christian does things different. Their car is going to be seen in a parking lot. When their car is missing, then we wonder where they're at. Which is only normal. Because it's people we worship with, it's friends that we have, it's people that we know. Oftentimes, there's emptiness in a person's life that God can fill. And He fills it with His love. He replaces a void. And one of the interesting things about God is He can't fill what's full. He's already filled it. And He's already filled that void in our lives. God will use confusion to bring about order. And sometimes we get confused with what's going on and things happen in our lives and we say, wow, man, I don't know how that happened. Why did it happen? Why did somebody say that about me? Who cares? Who really cares? God doesn't care. Because God's plan is unique for us and unique for each individual. We have to keep walking and knowing that setbacks are divine setups that God has for us, and keep that phrase in mind. I will walk in faith. And you're going to hear a lot about that. And you're going to see it a lot. But that's what our walk is. Ours is a walk of faith. Let go of the past, because our destiny is before us. Let go of the pain. Let go of the unhappiness. Let go of the things that frustrate you, like the 55-mile-an-hour driver in the fast lane that gets told by his wife that you do the same thing. Let go of that stuff. Let go of unhappiness. We don't want to define ourselves by where we have been. We want to define ourselves by where we're going. Because destiny is what's ahead of us. The past is the past, and we're not going to change it. So say it with me. I will walk by faith. I will walk by faith. And that's all we have. We have no promise of getting out of here and getting a cup of coffee and one of Robin's coconut macaroon cookies. We have no promise of that. But we know by faith that God has forgiven us. And so we walk that away and we live in it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for the plan that you've ordained for our lives. Father, help us to prioritize what's important. Help us to allow you to fill that void to where we're full, and we no longer have a need that is before us. Help us to realize that the steps of a good man are ordered by you. In your name we pray. Amen.